then we're doing a series about your purpose for being here. And we discussed a lot of things last week. All of those things you can relive by going to Direction Church's YouTube channel. You can go get there through our website. You can just click on the Watch and Hear Us tab, and the YouTube is right there. You can also listen to it on audio podcast. Those are all free. We don't sell our sermons here. We just give them away. So if you want to participate in that and relive last week's sermon so you can get caught up in the series, you can do that right there online. And Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28 is where we're basing our series out of. And as you look around the church today, you can tell that it's summertime and everybody's on vacation. So just keep those in mind. Next week will be actually probably worse. We are taking 10 of us to Israel. We leave tomorrow on a missions trip, and I'll be leading that with my wife and others from the church. And so we'll be joining up with another group from California, and we'll be volunteering at the largest church in Israel. We'll be volunteering at their conference that's going on, King of Kings Ministries. We support them on a monthly basis as a church, and we'll be volunteering at their conference, and then we're going to have about 6 or 8 days of touring the country and seeing all the sites, and we're really excited to get over there and do that. I think we're working on, I'll be speaking at a youth conference one day over there. I'm not sure. We haven't got all the details on that yet. You can just tell. See, most people in the rest of America, they come to Florida for vacation. When Floridians are time to go on vacation, they leave. Because they know there's a million people here. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28 is where we are for our series today. It says, a life devoted to things is a dead life, a stump. A God-shaped life is like a flourishing tree. And we said to you last week, we just gave a real simple definition of what purpose is, what one strives to be. It is the reason for its creation. Purpose is the reason of one's creation. God created you with value on the inside of you. That should make everybody excited. You have value on the inside of you. I don't care what somebody's told you your entire life. I don't care what your boss or your situation has told you. I don't care what you've faced in your life. No matter what you've gone through, no matter how many mistakes you've made or how you've messed things up, there is value that is on the inside of you. And it was placed there by God Himself. And I'm telling you right now, if that doesn't get you excited, you either don't believe it or there's something wrong with you. There is a value. If we were going to use other words, we could say it this way. There is a treasure inside of you. There is something that to the rest of this world is very important. It is very valuable. It is a treasure. It is priceless. And it is on the inside of you. And that value and that treasure is your purpose. That value, everybody has one, is your purpose for being here. Now, I know that when you talk about these things, some people just kind of, I've kind of heard my whole life that I'm worthless. Or I've been told other things. Or you say things to some people and you say, you know, God's got great plans for you. And they kind of die, they just kind of look at you and go, I'd really like to know what those are because I have not experienced them yet. And the reason I think is because a lot of times people think that the fulfillment of that purpose solely rests on you and what you think and what you've experienced, like your collection of your life right now. And we think that it solely rests upon us. And a lot of times when you start thinking about doing something great with your life, you think, man, I don't know how great can that be. I mean, there's a side of us, you know, if you studied psychology growing up, you know about the ego and the superego. And there's part of us that does want to be, you know, yeah, I'm all that. But that can be actually squished, come on, and put down, and with a collection of life and experience and words from people that matter to us, that can be squished down to the point where you really don't feel like you're capable of doing much more. I've actually talked to some people that have actually achieved some success in their life, and you can see they're on the verge of another great big step. And when you start talking to them, they kind of go, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much more I got. And it's like, man, you only need that. I mean, you're just so close. And they're like, yeah, I don't know if I got it in me or not. And it's because life just is a never-ending treadmill. And it's constantly taking a little bit out of you all the time. And so there, you know, when you say God's got great things in store for you, you know, life will tell you something else. Does anybody else have life tell them that, or am I the only one? All right. So then when you say God's got those great things in store, people will doubt it. And we try to do things, and we'll try and capsulize that purpose into things that make sense to us through the, y'all remember our filter series, through the filter of what life's done through us to us before. God's got great things in store for us. Well, yeah, it'll be through and whatever makes sense to us. Okay? Genesis chapter 16 tells a story of Abraham. He was called Abram at the time, and his wife Sarai, who went on to become Sarah. They were told they were going to have children, and not just a child. They were going to be the father or mother of many nations, like a whole race of people, a couple of races of people were going to come out of them. And they were going to, and they were both old as dirt. You ever heard that saying? I didn't want to say they were old, but they told God where to put the dirt when he was making the earth. You ever heard that saying? And that's about where we are in this story. I mean, Abraham's approaching 100, and Sarah's somewhere north of 80. And here we are in Genesis chapter 16, verse number 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children from her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Now what are we really talking about here? Basically, Sarah has given Abraham permission to cheat on her. Why? Because the great plans the Lord showed them and gave them was squashed by her life, her own experience, and what had happened in her life up to that point. I can't have children. So what did she do? She put this in a filter that made sense to her. What is she doing? She's making it all about what she's done, what she can do, what her life has told her. This is about Sarai. So she says, Abraham, I'm not getting any younger, and we're supposed to have kids, so maybe we're supposed to have it with a slave. Now listen, people do this all the time. They feel like God's got a great call for them, but then they start looking at their situation around them, their own experiences, and it really gets uncomfortable because I've never done that before, and I've never been around that before. I've never seen anything like that before. And so, well, then I have to now put it, come on now, into something that makes sense to me. Let me tell you something. If you fully understand what God has in store for you, You're not doing it by faith. And you're putting it in something that makes sense, and you're fixing to make a mess. God doesn't always call us to do things that make perfect 100% sense to us. Now, let me take this a step further. That doesn't mean we have to be weird and goofy either. You start talking about being led by the Spirit with some people, and it's almost like it's a license to get weird. Okay? That is not the case. But let's read on here and see what happens. Verse number 3, then Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Sarah tried to make sense of it through her own experiences, her own life, and then she hated the decision she made. So then God comes and gives them another chance. Let's pick up the story. Let's go over a couple chapters to chapter 18, verse number 9. Now, there's a couple of fellows that show up and tell her, hey, you're going to have kids. Now, some theologians believe it was the Lord and two angels. Here's what it says in the Word, verse number 9. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, older than dirt, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Now, that's not just a little bit. Like, childbearing was like not even a dot on the map anymore. It was like blurry. It was so long ago, okay? All right. So verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Now I love this next verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen. What did he just do? Hey, this is not about your age. This is not about what your experiences have told you. This is not about what life has steamrolled over you a whole bunch over and over again. Because it's not about you, Sarah. Amen. This is about God and what God wants to do. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Now listen to me. Your purpose is much the same. You may not be having babies when you're 85. But listen to me, there is a baby inside of you called purpose that's valuable, and some of you may be thinking, I don't know how God's going to do that. Why would God choose me? I'm the least of people. You don't know my background. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what kind of spouse I'm married to. You don't know about my drug addiction in the times past. I used to worship the devil. Come on, I have all kinds of things going on in my life. You don't know what I used to do. How in the world would God do this? It's because it's not about you, it's about Him. A lot of times we are hearing these things and we're like the dramatic hamster. Does anybody remember the dramatic hamster? Let's show the clip. This is the dramatic hamster. That's us. God wants me to do what? God has plans for what? Okay, that's good. You don't have to play it again. Seriously, you say that to people. God's got great plans for you. And they're like, what? Me? But I'm just, you know, I'm from a nobody, bunch of nobodies. Nobody in my family's ever done anything great. I mean, I'm just a lowly little. God's got great plans for me? Yeah, he does. And here's the thing that'll help you realize it. It gave God great pleasure in creating you for that purpose. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. You were created to give God great pleasure. Verse number 11 says this, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." Another translation of this reads that you created what gave you pleasure. Psalms 149, verse number 4, says, "For the Lord delights in his people." Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4. "According as he has chosen us in him." Now look at this. This is huge right here. "Before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Listen to me. You were created to give God great pleasure. A lot of people have this image of God as he's just mad at us all the time, just sitting up there on a throne with a baseball bat, just ready to just knock your head off as soon as you do something wrong, wham! And it's like our life has been told this is all God thinks about us. Let me tell you what this word in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4, this word, "according as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world." This word "chosen" is a Greek word that is pronounced eklego. It is a compound of two words, ek and lego. The word ek means out, okay? And the word lego means a small plastic brick that is the bane of your existence in the middle of the night if you step on it. No, that's not what it means. Okay. Anybody ever stepped on one? It is the bane of your existence. All right. Anyway, the word Lego actually means "I say." Now, you put those two words together, ek and Lego, and it means to say, it means "out, I say." It can also mean to call out, to select, to elect, or to personally choose. Now, in the old classic Greek term, it actually meant a person that was selected for a specific purpose. We kind of use the same kind of thinking when we use the word selective service, draft, and we don't have that anymore, but it's the same kind of people that are selected to be in the military. It could also mean people that are already in the military that are selected to go on a special or specific mission. It also meant politicians who were elected to the general public or by the general public to hold a public office or to execute a special job on behalf of the community. That's what that word eklego means, or chosen. So when Paul said we were chosen, come on, before the foundation of the world, he was saying this. God looked out over everything he was getting ready to create. Now, how do you do that? If there's nothing there to look at, how do you look at? He looked out in his mind over everything that was created. Now, catch this, because this made me shout. He looked out over all that, and he saw you. Amen. Come on, somebody. He saw you. Where? Here. I'm not going to let that go till you get it. God thought about you before he made anything else. Before let there be light, come on. Before let the heavens divide, come on. Let the earth spring forth, let the waters be parted, come on. Before any of that, before any star, before any sun, before any moon, before any outer space, God thought about you first. And when he saw you, he said these words, out, I say. Out where? Out of here. Get down there. He specifically chose you. God spoke out your destiny and your purpose, and that gave him great pleasure. Now, this is important. God didn't need to create you. If you're taking notes today, there's this blank in there. God doesn't need to create you. God chose, come on somebody, to create you. God chose to create you. You exist. And I hope you catch this, because you are of great benefit to him. Somebody's sitting there going, how do I benefit God? I mean, isn't he God? I mean, how do you benefit everybody? I mean, the one guy who knows everything, who can do anything, can be anywhere. How do I, little old me, benefit him? How does that happen? Now, let me just put your mind at ease. That doesn't mean God can't go on without you. He was going on before. He'll be going on after. So don't get stuck on yourself. But the benefit that you are to God is just to bring him pleasure as one of his children. You are not here by accident. You are here because God is pleased to have you here. This is going against the grain for so many people right now. This is almost painful. Like, I don't know about that. I want to believe it, but life tells me otherwise. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You're here to give God great pleasure. All right. Let's blow your mind a little bit more. Not only are you here to bring God great pleasure, you are the answer to somebody's prayer.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Who would pray for me? John chapter 14. Now, I'm telling you, if you can't get happy over this, then we need to work on your faith, or we're going to have to get you checked out. I'm serious. John chapter 14, verse number 14. Now, this is Jesus talking. How do you know it's Jesus? It's in red. Okay, John chapter 14, verse number 14. Yes, ask me for anything in my name. And now, this is huge. I will do it. Amen. Now, a lot of times, we want to talk about whatever we're needing, whatever we're believing for. You know, I need a new job, I need a new pair of shoes, or I need a new car, or whatever. I, you know, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. This word actually right here, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. That was the strongest word in the English language when they were translating this. That's the strongest way they could say it. The old King James wrote it this way, I shall do it. Now that's if somebody says, will you do this? And you say, yes, I will. I mean, you can't really get much more emphatic than that. Okay? But really, the Greek of this verse is actually way more in depth than this. It actually means this. If you ask anything, and man, I'm telling you, please tell me you're going to shout. Just go ahead and say, yeah, we'll shout. Even if you got to fake it, just go ahead and say you're going to shout. Because I was ready to run around the office this morning. All right. Ask me for anything in my name. And here's what that word, somebody already put it up there. If I don't have it, I will make it for you. You guys are beating me to the punch. You need to slow down, okay? All right. Ask me for anything in my name, and if I don't have it, I will make it for you. That's how that actually translates in the Greek. Our English language has evolved enough to finally capture that. If I don't have it, I will make it for you. Now let me just say, how many of you were created? Somebody asked for you. Come on. And you weren't available. You hadn't been made yet. Come on now, catch it. You hadn't been made yet. Ask me for anything in my name. If I don't have it, I'll make it for you. Well, now listen, the Bible says everything that was made by him. But how many of you know there's people being born all the time? So what does that mean? Somebody's asking for them people. That's the only thing we don't have. Come on. You're the answer to somebody's prayer.
Amen.
Every person on planet Earth is a unique expression of a purpose that God has and is an answer to somebody else's prayer. Man, I'm telling you, you're not catching it. You were created because somebody else asked God. And God was like, oh, that's not there yet. Who can I put that in? You. And to earth you came. What does that mean? There was no just, oops, accidents happen. There was no, oh, you were the one that we weren't planning for. You might have been a surprise to your parents and your family, but you were no surprise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jehovah Jireh, the Most High God. You were no accident. He was like, you know what? They need this down here. I'm sending them this person.
Amen.
You're a unique expression of a purpose that God has, and you're an answer to prayer. Now, some people say, well, what kind of people are praying for me? Why did God choose me? What pleasure can I bring to God? Well, there's a task that you're here to complete, and no matter how large or small the task is, God's pleasure comes from you doing it. God takes pleasure. Now see, some people go, well, what about me? Why don't I get the pleasure? I mean, why do I have to be the one doing something and he gets all the happiness from it? What you're here doing right now, the fact that you are here breathing and living is pleasurable to God. There is a task that comes, and if you will complete the task and do the task, you actually are pleasing God more. Come on, somebody. And you actually start to enjoy the benefit of the task being completed. How many of you know nobody likes to clean up your room, clean up your house. Nobody likes washing their car. I mean, seriously, do you get up in the morning and go, I can't wait. I get to go and mow the grass today. Yay. I'm going to go put on my old stinky grass-stained shoes and my cutoffs and that one T-shirt that my wife says I can never go out in public in, and I'm going to go sit on the lawnmower or push lawnmower. And nobody gets excited about that. Yay. I'm going to go out where it's 1,000 degrees and stand in the heat all day long and sweat and yay. But how many of you, when it's done, look back and go, man, I'm so glad I did that. When you finish wiping the last little bit of wax off your car and your sweat's beading up on your forehead and your clothes are soaked and your back's hurting, but man, as soon as you back up from that car and you go, all that pain goes away, and you go, woo! My God, that looks good. By fulfilling your purpose, the joy and the pleasure actually comes upon you too. Amen. There's a task that you're here to complete, and no matter how large or how small it is, you are pleasing God when you fulfill it. Okay, if you've been placed here to be great, you've been placed here to give God pleasure, you've been placed here as an answer to prayer, then the next part is you have to, and this is important and you need to listen, you need to believe that you have in you, and this is in your notes, whatever it takes to get it done. You already have it in you. I laugh sometimes when you ask people to do something, they go, I don't know how much more I got in me. You should not be asking yourself, can I do this? You should be asking yourself, is this what I'm made to do? All right? Now, I got a couple of little props here this morning. These are completely unconnected in every way. But right here I have a hammer and a light bulb. What is this hammer here for? It's here to hit something. Nails, sheetrock if I'm tearing down a wall, your husband if he does something stupid. But that's not all. It's also got a claw on the back to pull those same nails out. Okay? Now, this is a light bulb. What is this here for? This here is to illuminate. Okay? That's what they're here for. Guess what? This has inside of it everything it needs, come on, to fulfill that purpose. If I screw this in and it doesn't, what's wrong with it? It's broke. Okay? This has everything it needs in it to drive nails and pull them back out. What happens if I make this out of plastic? Come on now. I hit a real nail with a plastic hammer. What's going to happen? The nail is not getting driven, and this little plastic hammer is going to break. So that means if this is really going to drive a nail, everything it needs is already in it. I don't have to tell it, you know, you're hard enough to drive that nail in there. Amen. Listen to me. It's hard enough whether I tell it or not. Amen. Catch this. It doesn't even have to believe it. This hammer's hard enough to drive a nail if it believes it or not. This light bulb has everything in it to shed light whether it believes it or not. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Inside of you right now, you don't have to even believe it. I don't care if you don't. It's still in there. You have everything in you right now to please God. Come on, somebody. You have everything in you right now to be an answer to somebody's prayer. You have everything in you right now to do something great. Oh, I don't know. Oh, no. How great can it be, really? Let's look at it. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 12. All right. Now, while you're turning over there, you're getting ready to look it up. I want you to imagine for a minute if you had a washer and dryer, a brand new one. All right. Again, this is not about what you think you can do. It's what God has called you and equipped you to do. And he's already put this in you. All right. If you have a brand new washer and dryer and you open up the lid and or open up the front, or if it's one of those fancy front load ones or whatever, and you read on there how many gallons of water the drum can hold. If that sticker in there says this drum can hold 12 gallons of water, and I don't even know if that's feasible. I don't even know how much they hold. But let's just throw that number out there. If it says this drum can hold 12 gallons of water, then guess what's inside that washer that you can't see? Is a drum that can hold 12 gallons of water. Okay? All right? Inside of you, where you can't see, if you're a blood-bought child of God in a relationship with Jesus, you already have what it takes to please God, first of all. Hebrews, let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Now, there's another translation of this scripture that actually says God has given to everyone the measure of faith. Anybody ever heard that before? The measure of faith. What does that mean? All of us have been given the same amount of faith when we're born. When we're created, when we're born again, God gives us, because our spirit has been recreated as part of the fruit of the Spirit, all of us have been given the exact same amount of faith. Now, this is bothering people already. I know I got more faith than some people. I didn't say faith couldn't grow or get stronger. I'm saying it's already been given to you, though. Okay? It's been given us the measure of faith. Okay? Now, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Read what this says, because it's important. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's let that sink in for a second. If you've already been given faith, come on, when you got saved, come on now, you were given, it was given to you, and faith is what pleases God. Come on, please connect the dots. All right. That means in you, right now, you have what it takes to please God. Amen. It's already there. Already there, okay? You also have what it takes to complete the task God has for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Come on now. Good works. Not just random, roll the dice, whatever happens. Come on. No, we're created for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Come on now. That we should walk in them. Come on, God made you with what it takes to do good works. When did he do it? Beforehand? So that when you receive Jesus, come on, you can walk in them and do them, all right? There are things that you are built with. There are talents. There are abilities. There are attitudes. Come on, there are ways of thinking and looking at things that may be different. These are all part of why you are here. Those gifts and those talents and those ways of seeing things are tools that you were created with so that God can be pleased with you and your purpose can be fulfilled. Now, some of you need to get over yourself. Some of you aren't pleased with the claw. I wish it wasn't so daggone ugly. Some of you are not pleased with the hard nose. Man, I wish I could just be nicer to people. I mean, I wish I wasn't so blunt. Listen, you can do things to improve stuff. You know, I mean, this has been used well. But if I take care of it, come on, and clean it, keep it in a bag and not just throw it out in the backyard, come on, and I really take care of it, that hard nose on the front of this or the claw on the back of it actually serves a great purpose for a long time. And I actually can make it better. Listen, I spent my summer building houses with my dad. And we had a guy work for us. He still works for my dad. So he's getting older now, so he's slowed down a little bit. But, man, when he was in his prime, I mean, I remember being, you know, 15, 16 years old, and this guy was like 30. And, I mean, he was like, I mean, we used to call them high-performance men because they weren't real smart, but they'd do anything. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody know those kind of? Don't look at me all judgmental like this. Everybody knows somebody like this. Everybody knows somebody like this. They work for cheap. You know what I'm talking about? All right, this is the way this guy was. Now, this guy was faithful, so he's been working for my dad for a long time. He's now one of the maintenance men in our business. But I would watch this guy drive nails one lick. Started in there, wham, all the way in. And I'm not talking like little picture hanging, little penny small nails. I'm talking 16-penny house building nails, one shot, bam. You know why? That hammer had been his for a long time. In fact, they started coming out with heavier ones and more, you know, fiberglass and all kinds of crazy other stuff. And he didn't want to switch because that was his hammer. And he was used to it. And he knew exactly how it balanced. And he was good with it. And wham, one lick, man, bam, that nail was all the way down. Bam, bam, bam. I watched him hit his thumb one time. Bam. He was so mad, and it hurt so bad, he just laid it down and hit it again. I told you, he's a high-performance man, okay? Y'all were looking at me awful serious. I had to lighten that up. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Stop despising the things that you think aren't your gifts. They've been put there for a reason. God's got a purpose for you with them. Well, I wish I was a light bulb that I could just illuminate everything around me and people couldn't live without me and it would just be so wonderful to be a light bulb. What happens if I take this light bulb and I try to drive nails with it? Watch this. It's not going to last real long. What happens if I take this hammer and try and shove it in a light socket? The point is both of these are very important. Both of these, come on, would walk the red carpet. Come on now. Why? Because you got to have them both. And if I had other things up here, you know, we got to have shovels. Come on. They're not the most glamorous things. They dig dirt. But we also got to have cars with air condition and leather seats. Isn't that wonderful? Both have to walk the red carpet. The point is, stop despising what you are Embrace it. It gives God pleasure. That's why I put it in you. Some people say, man, I wish my faith was like so-and-so's. Stop wishing it was like so-and-so's. You got what it takes to make God pleased on the inside of you. Amen. Develop it. Amen. Those things have been placed in you. And we're going to talk next week, or not next week because I won't be here, I'll be in Israel. But the week after, we're going to talk about what happens when the things don't live up to the manufacturer's specifications. But today, I want you to realize what God's placed in you. To realize how God's built you. To realize what God has made you for. We'll talk about more of that in the next coming weeks. But if you're here today, the head's bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, man, I will tell you right now, you don't know what your purpose is. The most important thing that you can do in your life is have a relationship with Christ. Because he is the one who sheds light on the things that he's placed in you.